Good morning and welcome to the Sunday School lesson for today. Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterman, Tunnel Springs, Alabama, 36471. Our telephone number is 1-251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend William Oliver is our pastor, Sister George Oliver, our First Lady. Our clerk is Miss Lisa Starwood. We have Sunday School every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. That's our scheduled time, but we have it on Facebook and on our Facebook page. We thank you for following with us for the last several months due to COVID-19, where many churches are having Sunday School via the Internet. And we thank you for supporting us here at Antioch No. 1 Baptist Church here in Tunnel Springs. Our worship service is on 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays, and we do hold church services every on 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sunday at 8:30 in the morning, and we will be having our 4th Sunday services this morning as well. We hope you'll be a part of our services. All right. Love for one another is our focus, and our unit is godly love among believers. The lesson aims, after participating in this lesson, each learner will be able to list faithful practices of the first century church, contrast the action of the first century church in general with the action of Ananias and Sapphira, I believe, specifically, examine personal giving practice and create a plan to correct any selfish or dishonest habits that have been formed. The lesson outline was, we will begin with never a discouraging word. We hope that you are dealing with discouraging words that are taking place in your life. All right, let's go back to, we said that we would begin with the introduction, a never discouraging word. Let's go back and do the scripture outlines for the lesson. Devotional reading comes from 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 10. The background scripture comes from Acts, the 4th chapter, the 32nd verse, and the 5th chapter, and the 11th verse. Acts, the 4th chapter, 32 through 37. Let us begin. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things. All right. And with great power gave the possible witnesses the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land, of houses, sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. And Rose and Joes, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Sirius, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Acts the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. But a certain man, Ananias, was Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a portion part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter asked Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that has not that had not lied unto man, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came of all of them that heard these things. He died right on the spot. And the young man and the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter asked unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yeah, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, How is it in that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. The young man came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as have heard these things. The key verse: the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. Acts the 4th chapter, the 32nd verse. This is a very special lesson. It's about giving. There's one passage that I do encourage all of you to read, and that is the passage where God tells, if you have anything against your brother or your sister or anybody, go straighten that up before you give. Because if you got something against your brother or your sister when you're giving, it would not be well with the acceptance of it in the Jesus of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit accepting what you give. It's okay to give, but the thing about giving is make sure you are clear with your brothers and sisters, and no hard hearts and bad feelings or anything like that against your brother or your sister. Make sure you are in good standings with God in that relationship. All right. Today's country music reflects many influences. One of these from past century was the singing cowboy. Cowboy music was not about cheating husbands and loyal wives standing by their men. It was about the Red River Valley or the streets of Laredo. They sang yippee-ki-yi-yo, get along, little doggy. It might seem strange now, but many cowboy singers included yodeling in their repertoire. One classic cowboy song induced nostalgic for when America culture was not unurbanized, Writing in 1872 by Brewster Higley, "Home on the Range" includes this chorus: "Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day." Such a romantic picture of the past. Is there a place now where seldom is heard a discouraging word? Who wouldn't want to live there? Discouragement thrives among us today, but we are not unusual. The history of the Wild West, where the cowboy sang, was full of reasons for discouragement, not the least of which was the violence against the native people. Well, powerful there, isn't it? The early church also had its share of discouragement. Then, like now, encouragers were needed to be examples. Luke and Acts comprise two volume work written by a single author, assumed to be Luke, the physician and companion Paul, Colossians 4 and 14. The first volume of Gospel of Luke tells the story of Jesus, his birth, ministry, crucifixion, and resurrection. The second volume of Acts, the apostle tells the story of the first century church beginning in Jerusalem and ending with Paul's arrival in the imperial capital city of Rome. We look to the book of Acts to understand the nature of the church in its infancy, But so doing, we hope to understand better Christ's intentions for his church, as enacted through his trusted apostles and thereby understand what the church should be today. From Acts, we realize the church's primary mission to share the gospel unto uttermost part of the earth, Acts 1:8. We learn that this imperative to preach, the good news about Jesus must withstand ridicule, example 2:13, doubters, example 3:11 and 12, and even coordinate persecutions, example 4:1 and 3. Yet the first century church in Jerusalem had its share of problems. They faced leadership succession issues, Acts 1:15 through 26. It had organization challenges, 6:1 through 6. The following fellowship even suffered from dishonest concern financial disclosure, Acts 5:1 through 11. See commentary below. Generosity exercise. We've read the lesson, and it is important that we understand the commentary in relationship with the commentary. It may be repeated, but it is did in a purpose so that you will grasp thoroughly what is being said and understand the scripture. Please bear with us in this. We have followed this pattern throughout the Sunday school lesson, and we hope this is not distracting to you, but gives you a more thorough understanding of the scripture lesson which we have. And this is unity and purpose. This is the very first verse from Acts, the 4th chapter. And here we go. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. All things in common. The multitude here does not refer to a crowd size, but to those that believe. Some of those that believe in Christ. This is a unanimous majority, for they are one heart and one soul. Heart signifies the determined will of these people. They had common desires and plans. Soul represents the inner self, the inner life. The Old Testament used this combination of terms, heart and soul, as Luke does here, to indicate the entire person. Example, Deuteronomy 13:3, Joshua 22:5. In these examples, the people are called to love God with all of their being. They were to leave no part separate to adore any other God. Just as the church was united in devotion in the Lord, so they were united in showing that love through service to one another. Their purpose was to share wealth so that no one suffered poverty, devastation. They held all things common. This does not mean they surrendered all their money, possession, and property to the church. Leaders that live fully communal life. Instead, everyone gave generously to provide for those in need. This fulfilled the intent of the law to ensure that there were no poor among you. Deuteronomy 15:4. A long time goal for the people of God. That is not being done today. We still give, and there are still needless people that are in need, have needs, and are hungry and suffering for lack of food. We hear it every day about how people are hungry and doing without. The reason for that is that we're not following the way God wanted it to be done so that everybody will have. This right here was the way to do that. And it is very important in relationship to what's going on to understand what's going on today. I hope that I'm not confusing you with what I'm saying, but we hope you understand that people in need have those needs because we're not going about it, making sure everybody have in the right way. It's really, I got mine, you get yours. Anyway, and with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Nobody lacked on this particular time. Nobody lacked because they were all in Christ. They all loved each other. They made sure everybody had. They shared their property. Now, I want to say this in regards to, you hear our, excuse me, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, thank you. You hear today all about socialism and the things that the Republicans are always talking about, socialism, liberty, and liberal, and all those things like that. I don't know what to say about that. What I do know is that we are not living in a socialist society now. Everybody does not have, everybody's not sharing. And the thing about socialism is it's all about confusing your mind, that you somehow are going to be like some communist, other communist country across the water in some different place. And the thing that you need to remember is that you love each other, you help each other when you can. God do not want you to go without food or shelter or lights or whatever you have when you work every day. He wants you to take care of yourself first and your family first. Then you take care of others. Don't be foolish about what is being said, misled by the things about socialism and all this type of stuff that's being said now. That's a ploy to control people's mind. And I want to say this. Whether you're black, white, I don't care what color you are. Stay with us now. Stay with us. I don't care what color you are. Don't be confused by all this stuff that's going on. You know that you're supposed to share what you have with others if you have taken care of your family and stuff like that. Give when you can give and be thankful and thank God for what you have. Don't get all caught up on that. Okay, the loving and unified community allowed the apostles to continue their powerful preaching without undue distraction. With the crucifixion still fresh in the minds of Jerusalem residents, the apostles proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus. Non-believers witnessed a community bound by love for one another and heard a life-changing message from their leaders. Grace is a sign of God's favor. Example, Luke 2 and 40 and Acts 11 and 23. Although we primarily think of grace as a favor or forgiveness, it is not exclusively linked to forgiveness. It is a gift given by God to strengthen his people. God works through their willingness to serve and bless them as they love one another. God blesses you when you share and give of your substance. Grace is a sign of God's favor. God's grace is always so powerful. He loves you. He loves you over and in spite of your iniquity. He loves you continuously because you're the crown of his creation. Grace is a sign of God's favor. 34 and 35. For as many were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the peace price of the things they were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This is not being done today. This is not being done today. In some places there, it is being done. In communal places where that's done. If you're in a situation like that, and I don't know nobody in a situation like that, where they sell everything they got and bring it, and somebody else administers and gives it to. We do it right now in a common sense way, like we were talking about. Jesus loves us and cares about you. You give and share the substance of your what you have, as God has blessed you, and there's no qualms about that. Don't get caught up on the other stuff. All right? Pentecost saw 3,000 men respond to Peter's preaching, Acts 2 and 14. A number of them grew to 5,000 people. This is a small group of people. This is when the first Holy Ghost first came down. Okay? They had were doing exactly what God said to do and believed they should do, following what the apostles were telling them. That number grew to 5,000. Perhaps not all of these were active in the fellowship, for some had likely been short-term pilgrims to Jerusalem. Even so, many hundreds, at least, were involved on a weekly, even daily basis. This large group would have naturally included some wealthy folks and some struggling to put food on their tables. In this situation, God chose to provide for needs not through a miraculous multiplication of loaves of fish, as he did Jesus was preaching, or through manna from heaven, as they did when they were coming out of Egypt. Instead, the Spirit moved the hearts of the wealthy to sell houses and lands and release the proceeds to the apostles. This was done to bring the money from such sales and laying the coins at the apostles' feet, thus giving it to the church leaders to be used appropriately. Okay? At least one way the distribution was made was in food for the hungry. See Acts 6:1. The church leaders may also have distributed money to their believers. Consider 2 Corinthians 8:19 and 20. Trusting that any funds requested were needed and trusting the Spirit to guide their giving aid, this resulted in a community where needs were met. Where needs were met through everybody giving to one pot and then the apostles distributing from that pot. Example of giving. Let's think about today in the church when we have the benevolent fund managed by the church. The benevolent fund is for when you need benevolent, that's what it says. Person in needs and has needs, and there's a fund for that. Okay? Example of giving. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Syria. A former named Joseph, was a nickname given to him by the apostle that reflects his character. He has earned the distinction, the son of consolation, by his talk and action. This is the only verse in the book of Acts that referred to him as Hosea, or Joseph. Elsewhere, more than 2 dozen times, he is always Barnabas. Barnabas was from the tribe of Levi, which was the previous tribe, Deuteronomy 18:1-8. We don't know whether he lived in Jerusalem or was only visiting from Cyrus, the third largest island in the Mediterranean. That island hosted a considerable Jewish population, as suggested by the multiple synagogues in the city of Salamis. It is possible that Barnabas had some duties to attend to that Luke took him to the temple. Later, Barnabas introduced as an emissary from the Jerusalem church to the congregation in Antioch. Here, Barnabas is described as a good man who was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. In Antioch, Barnabas lived up to his name, with the results that many were added to the church. Barnabas was the first in Jerusalem to put aside suspicions and welcome Paul as a brother in Christ. The two were missionaries together and close companions. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas served as the example of those who owned land and sold it to raise money for the care of the needy in the congregation. He acted in a straightforward manner, already outlined in the commentary, Acts, the fourth chapter, we read it already. He gave with no expectation of receiving in return. Luke 6:4. as we said before, we want you to fully understand what's taking place right after Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit first was given to the people when they went into the upper room and prayed, and the Spirit came down. Okay, more than words. Discouragement is not the absence of adequacy, but absence of courage. Neil A. Maxwell, people all around us have the ability, but not the courage to accomplish their full potential. When we encourage them, we are not building them up with platitude or falsehood. Instead, we're helping them see the truth about themselves and the situation they're facing. How about that? Sometimes our encouragement offers more than words. When we help struggling college students with his tuition, where we buy a huge bag of groceries from the underpaid single mother, or when we send Christmas gifts to a missionary far from home, we're doing more than telling them better days ahead. We're actually relieving pressure that is preventing them from doing their best. Study the life of Barnabas, and you'll see that he always did more than talk. He gave, he helped, he accompanied. Which of these three is your weakest area? Do you give? Do you help? Do you accompany it? Do you help somebody? That's what it's saying. Which of these three is your weakest in? You know what you do. You know what you don't do. Clearly. Deception exposed. Deception. Some of us lie and deceive. We lie and deceive now. We make a certain portion. You say give 10%, right? How many of you don't give 10%? I bet you don't even give anything at all. What about at the pastor's anniversary? What do you give? Do you give with, if you have it, give it. If you don't have it, God understands. He understands when you first gave if you don't have it. He wants you to meet your obligations first. Take care of your family. God is a just God. He knows exactly what you're doing. But if you're being deceptive in your heart, that's not good. If you're lying and you got more than enough to give, excuse me. If you got more than enough to give, then you give it. Simple as that. But a certain man named Ananias, which Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife was being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But they got together on what they were doing. Okay? Ananias and Sapphira served as the negative counterpoint to Barnabas. Our initial impression may be that the negative part of that is selling a piece of property, unlike Barnabas, giving less than 100% of the proceeds of the problem. But that will prove to be the wrong conclusion as the rest of the story unfolds. Satan and Ananias. But Peter said, Ananias and Satan, fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. While it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou deceived these things in thine heart, and hast not lied unto men, but unto God? It all starts with your reason for doing what you do. If you are being deceptive in that you are denying God for what he needs to help on, and you deliberately doing that, that's the sin that we was talking about. When you contrive to misuse and abuse the privilege of giving by holding back and knowing that it needs it, and you're going to say to yourself, I ain't going to do this. I'm going to keep this for myself. You got a choice of giving. You can give all or you cannot give anything. You can give a portion. Make up your mind. If you have money and you want to give a portion of what you have, and the reason why you're giving a portion is that you have to meet your own needs. When you meet your own needs and you still got something you want to give, then give other. Don't set yourself up for a fall. Don't set yourself up for a lie. Don't set yourself up to sin. All right. Do what you have to. It's all yours from the beginning. All of it's yours. You ain't got to get nothing. That's up to you. All right. The decision by Ananias and Sapphira to sell property was not wrong. Giving less than 100% of proceeds for distribution among the needy was not wrong. What was wrong was deliberate misrepresentation, lying, the plot to deceive the apostles by the two making themselves appear to be more generous than they actually were. Tainted what otherwise could have been the act that molded generosity. To lie to unto men is bad enough, but to lie to the Holy Ghost is much worse. Ananias knew that the money he had placed at Peter's feet was only part of his sale price, and to his surprise, Peter knew it too. An honest accounting of the sale would have been something like, we sold land, but because of our financial situation, we can give only half the money. This could have served as a giving stimulus to others who felt necessary to keep part of what was received of the sale of property. See how it worked? Be honest about what you're doing. That's all he's saying. But when you try to deceive and lie about what you're doing, that's a sin. That's all to it. You got it, and you got it to give, give it. If you got it and you got to, you need to take care of your stuff first, take care of your stuff first and give what you can. That's what all he's saying. But by misrepresenting the proceeds as the whole instead of only the part, this is actually was Ananias committed a moral fraud. Moral fraud. See that? Moral fraud. Peter's accusation. Think about the fraud that President Donald Trump is talking about being done with the vote. There may be some cases where some people are doing some things about the vote, but the vast majority of it is not true. There may be one, maybe two, maybe I don't know. But the thing about that is this. Don't get caught up on stuff like that. Do what is right from the beginning. Do what is right in your heart and in your town, in your community, around your place. Vote like you're supposed to vote. Don't be misrepresenting and lying and just trying to steal something like that. That's evil. Oh, man. Peter's accusation that has not lied unto men but unto God repeats and emphasizes the accusation stemming against the deity. This also betrays Ananias' lack of belief in the ability of God to be aware of such an attempt. God knows everything about you. He knows everything about Freddie Howard. He knows everything about those that are listening to me right now. He knows everything. Where are you trying to hide? Be honest. Be upfront. As we say in the prison, Antioch, come clean. Come clean. God knows it already. He knows what you need before you even ask. The masquerade further betrays the Ananias' lack of belief in the Holy Spirit power to work his will in the church. He didn't believe in giving to it so that everybody else would have. Why would he give at all? He didn't believe it was God. I mean, you in the church, if you don't want to give in the church, don't give. That's up to you between you and God. You make that decision, you live with that decision. You suffer the consequence of that decision. God says, all the cattle upon 1,000 hills are his. Everything is God's. It's his from the beginning. You wouldn't have it unless God allowed you to get it. I gave it to you. All right? Thus, we're struck by the absurdity of attempting to lie to God. God always knows the truth and will never be fooled by human deception. Yet, a nice carelessly plan that depends on God not knowing or not caring. Peter's condemnation came in stark terms, and Peter himself knew what it was like to be accused of being under the influence of Satan. Oh, man, this is powerful. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Neither God nor Peter gave Ananias his chance to mount a defense. The time of lying was over. The man's instant death was clear evidence to those watching that God knew Ananias' heart and was angered by what he saw. Anger to the point that God destroyed him. How about now? We in a period of grace. How many chances God gives Freddie? How many chances does God give you? Think about that. When you deceive and you lie, how many chances God, Jesus Christ, that sits at the right hand of the Father and knows everything that you do, give you a chance? Give Freddie a chance? Give you a chance? How many? That's what grace and mercy and with God's coming. He blesses you over and over and over and over again in spite of your iniquity, in spite of how you lie, in spite of how you steal. God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Be mindful of what is taking place in your life. Be mindful. And not as humans just fell down and gave up the ghost. All right? And great fear came to all of them that heard these things. Now, we often wonder why things go like they are in the world today and people do what they do. It's because those that are sinning and doing wrong, punishment is not quick just like that, instantly. So we tend to think that we can get away with it. No, you don't get away with it. God allows you another opportunity. After a while, it just mounts up, and the weights of it that mounts up later on come so much you can't bear it. Do what is right from the beginning. All right? Fear is something, an unfaithful reaction, as when it causes a person to act without faith in God. But in this case, the fear seems to be of the type that caused greater response to God. Though this reaction may have been limited to believers, likely other living in Jerusalem also heard the tale and were afraid. There is no record of anyone having cried injustice when they heard this. Perhaps a testimony to the reputation of Ananias, the reaction was fear of God's wrath rather than the indignation on behalf of a dead man. What about you when you were coming up? When your mama and your dad told you not to do this, you were petrified. You didn't do it. Just the fact that they said that do not do it. Now, when you were told things to do, you do what you want to, because you know the consequences are not going to be coming quickly and swift. Okay? Oh, okay. Great fear came on all of them that heard these things. Fear, there's a fear of the fear is not of God now. Fear is an evil Satan thing. Fear. We have not the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of overcoming with Christ, with Jesus Christ. And the young man rose, wound up, and carried him out and buried him. The burial was hastily and unceremonious. Any funeral was no more than what was minimal, necessary. See what I'm saying? Boom. You sent it, blew you up, kept up, you gone. And dead and buried and gone. You're a sinner. You did wrong. All right? The spirit and Sapphire, and it was about more the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Okay? Watch what happened to her. News of the death spread quickly, for no one told Anna's wife Sapphire. The emphasis was how quickly events were moving along. She was not even present when they buried her husband. She entered the room, assuming that Ananias had delivered his gift and received praise and honor. She likely expected the same thing. But the heart was not there. The heart was not in it. Okay? And Peter answered and said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Peter confronted Sapphira immediately. Sapphira. Asking only if the price quoted by Ananias was true. This gave her a chance to honest where her husband had been deceitful. Sadly, her story matched Ananias and confirmed that her husband had acted with full knowledge and approval. Act does not reveal what motivated Ananias and Sapphira to perpetuate this fraud. But we can easily imagine it was tied to esteem of the church. After seeing Barnabas standing in proof fellows his generous gift, the couple was probably envious and wanted to guard such positive recognition too. It was in the in it, see oh did you miss that? I know you didn't. They wanted the accolades of the big giveaway. Oh, come on. Giving in the church like you some big shot or a little shot or whatever you is. Just give because God gave it to you. Oh, don't set yourself up for a fall. Don't set yourself up for sin, evil, or death. All right. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Peter wasted no time and missed no words telling Sapphira where she had gone wrong. She had tempted the Spirit of the Lord. We can never tempt God with evil and expect him to fail. Suspect him to fail. See James 1 and 3. We can, however, try the patience of God with a test. Those who test the patience of God play in a dangerous game, a fool's game. The sense of testing here is very similar to Jesus' temptation. Luke 4 and 1 through 13. Satan there intended to make Jesus act contrary to his identity as the Son of God. Identity as the Son of God. Here Ananias and Sapphira unwillingly tested the Spirit, only to learn that it is also powerful in the church to guide it and hold in it. Jesus did not fail in the wilderness. The Spirit did not fail in Jerusalem. Oh, man. Don't go there. Do not go there. Listen to me, please. Do not go there. From the beginning, do what is right. Let me say this again. Clearly and clearly. Understand it. When you work, God wants you to enjoy the labor of your work, the sweat of your brow. He tells you that. He tells you that. And because of this sin, we are to work and labor. But you have a right to a portion of what you work for. All of it, if you want to. You also have the right to take care of your personal business and stuff for your family first. But God comes first as well. If you decide to give God a portion of your earnings up front, do so with an open heart and a pleasing heart, knowing that you did what you believed to be right and that you are in the grace of God of doing what is right. Don't get caught up on the lie of deception, because God knows already what you got and what you do not have. Do not get caught up on, oh, I'm going to give because it make me look good in the church. No. Since the pandemic, I've given faithfully a certain amount of money every Sunday. Sometimes I don't have it, I give what I have. But when I got it, I give it. I always say when I go in there to give, I say, add this to what Mary gave. That's all I say. Whatever I got. I don't know what amount she give. Sometimes she'll tell me what she give. I don't ask her what she give, but I say, add this to hers. And that's I give what I can. All right. Fraud report. Forbes magazine recorded the study status of Global Mission 213 and reported a staggering amount of embezzlement fraud among churchgoers. On one line item, ecclesiastic crime projected loss of $37 billion worldwide. Another $8 billion was lost due to the mismanagement of funds. The study contrast these amounts with the $32 billion it says was given to mission work the same year. And there was folk give the church and the folk misuse the money. What about that? You know what you're doing personally and the funds that are given to the church. Are you misusing it? I often think about when I'm given a task to do and given a portion of money to give, I always return it. I return it. Sometimes it be pennies. Sometimes it be dollars. After I beat and did what the church asked me to do, I return it. Miss Lisa, the clerk, she records it. I don't know whether she, sometimes she say return to the church for said when the amount is a substantial amount other than what they have given to for the task to be done. I return it. Ananias and Sapphira may have been the first believers to commit financial fraud in the church, but clearly they were not the last. The reports do not document the effects of individuals who commit these crimes. This dishonesty or dishonesty has damaged their soul, and in fact leads us to look at our own attitude toward the money we give to the church. Another thing, when you give money to the church, it's no longer yours. When it leaves your hand, as my mother said, you have turned your hand the right way. If you gave it and you turned it in a way that was deceitful, that was sin, it would not be useful. God tells you, if you got something going on in your life that you got to be deceitful about your giving, don't do it. If you got something going on with a friend, don't do it. If you're hating on your brothers and sisters in the church, do not give, because you know you're not right. Okay? You need to be right in the eyes of God before you give. Understand that. You need to be right with Jesus Christ, God Almighty, God the Father, Jesus Son, before you give. Clearly understand that. That's why a lot of us don't get blessings, because we're not right when we give. Okay? You got to be right. Are we giving only because others are giving? Are we pretending we're giving a sacrificial gift? We are actually contributing for other overflow? Although our name was made into a fraud report, the fraud label might nevertheless apply. Do it for the right reason. Okay, behold the feet of them which have buried the husband at the door. Ye shall carry thee out. Thou fell she down straightway at his feet and yield up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. And with her husband, Sapphira had no further opportunity to defend herself. Barely 3 hours after Ananias was struck dead, the young men finished interring her, only to return to more work. The undertaker, the people that buried him. Without resting, the burial suffered by her husband. The haste suggests that neither the spirit nor the church will waste any time before rooting out wickedness in the midst of the body of Christ. What about today? What about today? Huh? Think about your church, Antioch Number One Baptist Church, here in Tonto Springs, Alabama. What are you doing that is deceiving and not being right? Huh? When the church knows that you're lying to it, how many of you know, to tell you the truth, about it, we may think, or we may assume, we may whatever, but we don't know for sure who's doing what, or what, you know what I'm saying? We may say, oh, she's not giving, or he's not giving, or whatever. That's between you and God. Don't weigh yourself down with that, what somebody else do. You do what's right. You do what's right. I said this a third time. You do what's right. Okay? The story may trouble some of us. A primary problem is that the penalty of death may seem too severe. These two did something good, gave money for the poor, although the selfish manner didn't they deserve some credit? What do you think? You think they did some credit when you deceiving? You think you deserve credit when you lie? No, you do not. Ain't no benefit of the doubt. Okay? Furthermore, let God make that choice. From the beginning, so God won't have to make that choice for you. Do what is right from the beginning. All right? Furthermore, the story puts Peter in an uncomfortable role as stem judge who did not hesitate to renounce the faith that befall Sapphira. Couldn't he at least have given Sapphira a warning when asking about the design? Don't lie to me, sister. I'm warning you. Both of these objections find their best answer in Sapphira's interest in keeping the church holy. Though the word may claim that the end justify the means, Christian ethics requires the ends and the means to work together virtuously. Think about what's taking place in this country right now. What's taking place in this country right now? Why is it taking place? Huh? The plague is upon them. What's taking place? Why? Sometimes you don't have to. Look at Job, for example. Sometimes you don't have to do nothing wrong for God to chastise you or to test you out. Sometimes God tests you. I'm reminded of something that one of our members say, Sister Andretta, and that is, this is not about what's taking place with President Trump. This is about what's taking place with you. God is seeing who you are, what's going on in the world today. How are you doing with the pandemic? God is testing you. Are you refusing to wear the mask? Are you going around with everybody and doing everything, sneaking around, doing, knowing that you got the COVID? What about you? What is your character? What does that say about you, that you would endanger somebody else's life? What does that say about you, huh? Come on, think about it. When Paul wrote letters about spiritual gifts, he was making a simpler point. No gift of its own is worth anything. Only the correct motivation coming from the heart can give those gifts any value. The motivation of the heart, that's what God judges. When you first conceive to do what you're going to do, God judges right there why you did it, Freddie. Why you did it, such and such a one. Why you did it, Deacon. Why did you do it? Did you do it for a selfish reason? That's what God takes to the bank. That's what God judges you on. The community fear caused by Ananias and Sapphira's death intensified. Surely the people wondered what was going on in the fellowship. No one seemed to question that God had acted in a powerful, judicious way. Barnabas encouraged all who aspired to be generous. Ananias and Sapphira testified all who believed they could fool the God's church were falsely with false piety and lies. The end of it is death. All right, conclusion. Thank you all for staying with us. Conclusion, encouraging word. While we may not understand exactly how the Spirit works in the church or what it is up to all the time, church business is serious business. Faith and fraud cannot coexist. For this reason, when we allow the Spirit to lead us, we give genuine gifts like Barnabas and not sly and deceitful like Ananias and Sapphira. Which one is you? Which one are you? What character are you in? Okay, dishonesty within church can destroy its entirety and must be dealt with severely. The very thought of doing a good deed to receive kudos and honors violates the spirit of charity. As Jesus taught, when we give for relief of the poor, it should be so private that our left hand doesn't know what the money our right hand put in it off his basket. This requires a delicate balance of being a witness at the same time. But when we yield our hearts to the Spirit, we know what sees our deeds. We know what He sees our deeds and blesses them. God knows what you do. All right, prayer. Let us close out. Lord God, give us when we attempt to deceive you in Christ's body. Lord, forgive us when we attempt to deceive you in Christ's body. Help us to genuinely seek to encourage. In Jesus' name we pray. He asks you for forgiveness. He asks him for forgiveness when we attempt to deceive you in Christ. All right. The Spirit works powerfully in the church. The Spirit works powerfully. Thank you all for staying with us a little bit long, but I know I got a little bit carried away perhaps. But be ready for November the 29th lesson. Impartial love. Impartial. How about that? Do you love specially only certain people you love? Do you love the big rich guy? Or do you love the person that's down and out? How about you? What kind of love are you showing? Impartial love. All right. Thank you all. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, thank you. We went a little longer today, nearly 52 minutes. But God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to us today. Give to the church. Give honestly. Give of the substance in which you've earned, and God will bless you for it. Do it for the right reason. Do not be deceptive in giving. If you got something wrong with you and your brother and your sister, don't give it. Go back and straighten it up. Then come give it, okay? Make sure you are right with Jesus Christ, God Almighty, God the Father, Jesus the Son, before you give. One more time. Make sure you are right with God, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, before you give. Is that clear? Thank you. God bless you. We'll talk to you next Sunday, God willing. We thank you for listening to House Here and Gospel, Block Talk Radio, the Sunday School lesson coming from Antioch Baptist Church in Tony Spring, Alabama. We're going to honor our pastor, Mr. Lisa Stahl, our clerk, and our first lady, Ms. Joyce Arnold. God bless you. Take care now.